and we are the Nonprofits. I'm your host, Jeff D. Our co-host, as usual, Dennis Lubang.
Hello.
And producer, Russell Glasser.
Hello.
Today's guests are Nobody.
Oh.
Wasn't that great last time?
That was cool.
At the conference?
Five guests, count them, five.
We don't ever have guests, but, I mean, don't usually have guests, but when we have them, we pull out all the stops. we're live October
23,
2004.
Yeah.
Hooray.
It is, right?
It's getting close.
Close to what, Dennis?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. We're going to
Halloween
somebody, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, Halloween, yeah. How appropriate.
Speaking of Halloween, sort of, because Amanda brought this up, and I was thinking of Halloween, and, you know, it's only going to make sense to me. On October 8th, which was the first day of the conference, it's the day before we broadcast my previous show. You know what else that was?
What?
That was the anniversary of the day that Colonial Governor Phipps declared that spectral evidence would not be admissible in court, pretty much bringing an end to the Salem witch trials.
Old Iron Jaw Phipps.
Yeah. You're familiar with Governor Phipps, are you?
No, I have no idea. I just made that up.
That's an important date, I think, for atheists, because when you... Christians are always coming at us with this bullshit about, well, you know, if you had a court trial, the jury would conclude that God existed, or they claim that, that there have been jury trials and people have decided that God existed. Well, you know, if spectral evidence, if evidence that of things spirits told you isn't admissible, the entire Bible isn't admissible, because according to Christians, this big spirit wrote it.
Right.
All right? It's written by God.
Yeah.
None of it is admissible.
So it's the basis for our legal system, yet...
yet not admissible
yet
in court.
Not admissible in court. Interesting, isn't it? Maybe it's all bullshit.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I think that is a date that in future we need to be not forgetting, putting on our atheist calendars and having some kind of atheist festival on the, you know...
A day that will go down in famy.
Can I get some kind of feedback from our producer
maybe
about what's going on?
Maybe pro-famy. I just got the internet connection back. I'm sorry. This week we're having the usual problems. First of all, the Atheist Network is down again.
Yeah.
And then my internet connection went down. But luckily, as you can tell if you're listening to this, we're continuing to record the stream.
And we're recording it, so it's going to be recorded no matter what.
And I'm
unless
go
that goes down.
Right.
Unless
my computer crashes, you know, this show will be uploaded someday. I'm going to go back in the chat room and tell them
someday
to try to connect to us again.
All right. So we're going to just go on with the show. On the way into Glasser Studios this morning, I was scanning the radio for news, and instead of news, what I got was some Catholic broadcast with Catholic bishops talking about the upcoming election.
Oh.
And in particular, they were talking about that. Maybe some of you have been watching the news have heard of this. There's a list of five non-negotiable issues that a Catholic bishop here in the U.S. released, and it's basically like, here's the things you can't can't ignore when you go to vote as a Catholic,
right?
If you ignore these things, you're not being a proper Catholic. And wouldn't you know it, it's things chosen to indicate that George Bush should be your candidate.
Right.
Right? That kind of
bullcrap. What a shock.
That's that kind of bullcrap. But one thing that is markedly absent from the list of five things, which it does include stuff like abortion,
right?
Euthanasia,
of course.
I forget what all else, right? Yeah. But death penalty not on there. So while I was
saying,
the Catholic Church claims that they've got a coherent, internally consistent position they're coming from, where human life is of paramount importance. Therefore, you can't have euthanasia. You can't have in vitro. I'm sorry, you can't have human embryonic stem cell
research.
You can't have the death penalty. Right, all those things, because human life is so important.
Right,
but the death penalty is not on this list of non-negotiable issues, even though it comes from the same place philosophically. And somebody, while I was listening, asked the bishops, how come? Well, the bishop says, well, since both the major political candidates right now favor the death penalty, we decided it wasn't important, and we left it off.
How convenient.
But Ian, if one candidate did not favor the death penalty, right, then you'd expect that it would be on the list of non-negotiable things, right?
You would.
Unless it is negotiable.
Unless the wrong candidate voted the way
you wanted to. We don't have to go there. But look, you know.
No, I'm willing to go there.
Since that is
inconvenient for Bush's position, they left it off.
But Bush is in favor of the death penalty, and the Catholic Church isn't.
Right.
But so is Kerry in favor of it.
Right.
Now, I understand their claim that there is no distinction between the two candidates on this issue.
Right.
The point is, it should be, philosophically, it should be every bit as non-negotiable as all other things that violate the sanctity of human life, right? If they have...
You should go for neither of them.
Right. Anybody can write in a presidential candidate. Right. Every Catholic. If, in fact, the Catholic Church was being internally consistent, every Catholic should be being informed, you can't vote for either of these guys because they're in favor of the death penalty, which is philosophically every bit as non-negotiable as all the others.
But vote for the Pope.
You know. He's Italian. No, he's
Who cares?
He's Polish. He lives in
You could write in anyone. If you can write in a cartoon character, you can write in an Italian.
Oh, that's a good point.
Not that I'm comparing Italian people to cartoon characters, but
just that
there
one.
You go.
So, I just thought that was very...
That's peculiar.
I thought that was very hypocritical.
Self-serving, yeah.
Self-serving and hypocritical.
Mm-hmm. Very Republican.
They'd be doing the same stuff if it happened to be the Democratic candidate that mostly was on the issues they liked. I'm just saying, you know, they can't very well argue that they've got this, you know, internally consistent philosophical position where all this stuff is non-negotiable, and then make it negotiable if it's a thing that doesn't draw a distinction between the two candidates.
Two arbitrary candidates, yeah.
Right.
The problem with having this sort of absolute black and white worldview is that, you know, you can't really expect real life to line up with your expectations. I mean, if there are really non-negotiable things, then what happens if you get one candidate who's for abortion and another candidate who's for gay rights, and those are the only two guys in the race? If you've got non-negotiable standards on both of them, then your only choice is to ignore the election. But somebody's going to win anyway.
You write in another candidate.
Yeah, but that person's not going to win.
That is the nature of non-negotiability, okay? If a thing is really non-negotiable, you do not vote for anyone that supports it.
Isn't the point of having non-negotiability to actually influence the outcome? I mean, it's very I refuse to vote for either candidate.
Sure.
But that's not how they justify it.
They don't justify it by saying, these are non-negotiable because if they were negotiable, we couldn't use them to tell you who to vote for.
Uh-huh.
They're saying it's non-negotiable because they have an internally consistent philosophical position on the sanctity of human life.
Which they don't.
Well, they say they do, but then they take some of the things that are implied by that philosophical position and call those non-negotiable.
But I mean,
things implied by that their philosophical position that are clearly negotiable because they're not telling you drop the two major candidates and write in somebody else.
Suppose let's be really extreme here. Suppose you live in Afghanistan during this much vaunted, Afghanistani election.
Can I live in a cave full of dynamite in
sure,
in
go
Afghanistan?
Ahead.
Because we're being all extreme.
No, but let's say you're a good Catholic who happens by circumstances beyond your control to live in Afghanistan.
All right. In a cave full of dynamite.
All right.
Go ahead. Okay. One of the guys on the ballot is Osama bin Laden.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the other guy is a guy who's like a perfect, progressive, wonderful guy in every way who happens to believe that gays should be allowed to get married.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right. Are you going to say that you don't care about which one of those guys gets elected simply because you can't negotiate your position on gay rights?
Okay,
it's irrelevant.
You're asking me. I mean, me, I'm not going to sign on to some frickin' stupid list of non-negotiable things in the Catholic Church in the first place. Now, if I am playing the role of a Catholic, it is clear a lot of Catholics also don't allow their votes to be influenced by stupid-ass lists from their Catholic Church, which is fine. I just wish those people would drop the stupid fucking religion. Right,
but if they don't
really care, then they should drop the damn religion because clearly they know that it's bullshit. They just they don't have the strength of their convictions to drop the damn religion. Now, if I am a good little doggy Catholic follower who does everything I'm told, then of course what I do is exactly what the church tells me, and so that means it doesn't matter what I would do. What matters is what will the church tell me to do.
Right. What will the church tell you that God wants you to do?
And then we're back on this issue again, which is, here's the church that claims to have a coherent philosophical position, putting together a list of things that they tell me that as a good Catholic are not negotiable, and yet they themselves have engaged in negotiation on these issues by leaving one off so that their followers are free to vote for a candidate that has a chance of winning. Right. They want to influence the elections, but they themselves are negotiating on that one issue. If they really had a coherent philosophical position, they would say the Catholics can't vote for either one of them.
Right.
So to call these things non-negotiable is bullshit. There's really a list of six, and the sixth one is death penalty, and they left it off.
Right. Because it didn't serve their argument.
Right. Bullcrap. Mike Loy on Air America is an atheist.
Hooray.
The other day, I was Russell, you heard this too, right? Listening to Mike
Loy. No, I don't listen to him usually. He kind of annoys me.
Then, when I mentioned this before the show, you said, yeah, you heard that. Did you?
I have heard in the past him. On the rare occasions when I've listened to him, I've heard him say that he's an atheist.
It's true. The other day, I was listening to Mike Loy on Air America. He's their, evening guy. And he's talking about religion, and he says, I'm an atheist, and I think all this is nonsense, and humanity should have outgrown all this religious bullcrap a long time ago.
Absolutely.
It was awesome. And his show is becoming, it seems like his show is becoming more about critiquing crazy religious stuff. If not because he wants it to, then because as a consequence of saying stuff like that on his show, he gets callers who ask him about those things. So yes. I recommend listening to that
show.
Well,
I'm in favor of any talk about crazy religions. I just happen to think that without tooting our own horn,
we do a better job than him.
We're better than he is.
Yeah, but we got to support it. Because he's got we might be 10 times better than him at talking about it.
But
he's
got
10,000 times better than
audience.
Us in terms of reaching people. So.
Yeah. Market. That's right.
That's great. I just want all the listeners to know.
Reggie, if you're out there, you have those clips of Tom Likas.
Yeah, Tom Likas also.
So you should get some clips of Mike Malloy or obtain permission, however you do it.
I think we're also better than Tom Likas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but I'm talking about this issue only because we all are more immersed in thinking about atheist stuff every day.
Yeah.
Whereas these people are more immersed in doing their radio show every day. We do ours every other week, once every other week.
And we're not that interested in the business of radio, none of us, which is why we have such
a small
audience.
Well, we were, which is why Russell is so bitter about this. Because we actually sent a demo CD to, well, what before it was Air America, it wasn't even named yet, right? And we got promptly
ignored. Yeah.
They pulled an Operation Ignore on us. That's how Franklin would say.
I can't say I'm surprised, because when you listen to the final list of people, it's all like folks who have either been prominent liberal activists or celebrities for years, or been successful radio hosts for years. And whether we're good or not, we are neither.
Right. And but you know, I still like to think that maybe there, you know, our little 2 cents worth about what people on their end of the political spectrum like to talk about, right? That our demo CD might have given them a little bit more of a grasp of the fact that open atheism is a reasonable thing to have on there.
So are you personally taking credit for Mike Malloy now?
No, I'm taking credit for one vote in favor of that out of however many they got.
Okay.
And I have no way of knowing that.
Now, Randy Rhodes, since we're talking about Air America Radio. No, she constantly says, I refuse to talk about religion.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Under any circumstances. And in fact, you know, she occasionally says things that make me believe that she's probably a liberal Christian of some sort, or Jew. I don't know.
But ever, you know, remember, when fundamentalists try to tell you that not talking about religion equals atheism, it's important for us to argue back, no, it ain't.
Right. Yep. God is not real. That's talking about atheism.
Right. Right. Robert Ingersoll was cool, and here's his lectures, and let's read them and discuss them. That's atheism.
Yeah.
I've gotten into this a number of times over, you know, getting into it with Christians on the question of atheism supposedly taking over our public schools. No, bullshit. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. The day that they have, you know, the philosophy of atheism class.
Right.
Then
and not just in a comparative religious studies.
Right, no,
class.
On its own, as, you know, this is the, right. Have atheism class the way you have science class. We could fill a curriculum with information about atheism that is just not there.
When the principal leads them in no prayer over the intercom, then.
Yeah, if they had a little, you know, ritual reading of the, critique of, belief in the supernatural.
Right.
That you recite at the beginning of the day, right? It's dumb to believe the things you can't prove. Christianity is stupid. Islam is stupid.
Then you can say atheism is
stupid. That could be some atheism.
Yeah.
I've got a number of little things that I want to get through, and I'm going to try to just force my way through this as quickly as possible.
All right.
Is everybody familiar? First of all, we should say this at the start of the show. This is our last episode that we're going to have before Election Day.
Hey.
Right?
Yep.
Next time we have this show, it will be a few days after we have all discovered who our president is going to be for the next 4 years.
Well, assuming that it's decided.
Assuming that it's decided and it doesn't hang for
it
a month like it did last
Supreme
time.
Supreme Court again, yeah.
Which could happen, but...
Yeah.
All right, I'll back off and say, the next time we have this show, your opportunity to vote is going to have come and gone.
Yes.
That is definitely true.
That's the important part.
So,
make it count.
Vote, will ya? And, you know, I don't know these days how many people we had have listening to this show. I mean,
I don't know either. Last time we had
tabulated statistics, Russell, you know, our best guess was like 200 people, different people listened to the show, each episode of the show. But that was like 2 years ago.
That's true.
Could be more. Should be more if you people are doing your other job, which is telling all your friends, relatives, loved ones, and coworkers about our show and getting them to listen. But should be more than that, but let's say it's 200. Huh?
All polls say the election is close, so your vote will count.
Yeah, you know, 200 votes might decide this election.
Especially if we've got listeners in Florida or Ohio. Get your ass out there.
Or, now, in Texas, the date to register to vote has come and gone. You can no longer register to vote in Texas if you haven't already. And there could be some other states out there where that's the case. If there's anybody listening to this show who has not registered to vote, register to vote unless you can't. And if you can't, then find four people that you know of who are registered to vote and remind them. Okay? This is hugely, hugely, hugely important.
And as I'll mention in a later segment, offer to have sex with them.
Now,
that may be a disincentive, but
depending on who you are, take a good look at yourself in the mirror, then decide whether that would be a proper way to contribute to the process. Okay, so that's my big political appeal, and this is going to be a very political episode, I think.
Could be.
We got a lot of material that is important to get out there.
Which is why we are officially not a show done by the atheist community of Austin.
No, we severed our ties with them for the meanwhile so that we can be political, because the atheist community of Austin is a nonprofit that can't be political. So we wish them well.
Does that mean we're for profit?
No, we're nonprofit.
Okay.
Where was I going with this?
Money.
I went so far as to change our opening music today to "I'm Merely a Man" by XTC.
Which no doubt has some deep significance.
From their Oranges and Lemons album. And the song says, "And you know it's true that with logic and love we'll have power enough to raise consciousness up and for lifting humanity higher."
Hey.
That is one of the one of the lines.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
logic and love.
Yeah.
Hey.
Vote, will you? Vote. We have got to get Bush and his cronies out of office. I mean, it's funny. It's still not clear to me whether Bush really believes his religion crap. But it is really clear to me that they're using it to manipulate people.
Yeah.
It's part of the package of ways that they get otherwise decent people to support their agenda and vote for them. And that in itself is dangerous. Because even if he doesn't believe, he's certainly whipping a bunch of other people into a frenzy of thinking they've got some special rights in this country, which they don't have. So I'm telling people to vote. Even in City of Heroes, I'm telling people to vote.
That's right.
One of my favorite characters to play, Captain Liberal, was going around. His battle cry used to be, "Go left, young man." And he would, when he goes on a mission into a building, he would always follow the left-hand wall to get through the maze.
Right.
He always attack the opponents that are standing on the left-hand side of the crowd.
Yeah. I can see that.
Now, we had this great discussion before the show.
But wait, Jeff.
Yes? Thank you.
Shouldn't you attack the people who are on the right?
No, see, because if you were those people and standing on what looks like the left to me, you are the one standing on the right of that crowd.
You thought of everything.
Yes. And when in the elevator rooms, there's four elevators, he always takes the far left one. So I changed my battle cry used to be "Go left, young man." Then I changed it to Carrie Edwards 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make a lot of sense as a battle cry, when you're facing down a room full of super brides.
Right, and it's a battle cry with a limited time span, but yeah.
But I had some people suggest
to me. If you're
trying
to get a message across to the villains, they have a very short time left to live or not be incarcerated.
Yeah.
So they won't be able to vote at that point.
Then it was suggested to me that might actually violate their terms of use. And I can see that.
It's possible.
People running a massive online game do not necessarily want it degenerating into political arguments. So I read their terms of use. The closest thing that they say is that you can't use it for advertising.
So
that could be considered as advertising. I changed it.
Campaigning.
Captain Liberal. Yeah.
Advertising.
Same kind of thing.
Hmm.
I changed his battle cry to vote.
Right. And that's important.
Good advice.
Important. And the bad guys, you know, they keep refusing, so I have to beat them up.
Ah, very good.
All right. Somebody want to do some piece of news?
Yeah, I do.
Go.
Oh. Go for it.
I brought this up already.
Okay. You alluded to this.
Yes, it's something I've actually been hearing about. I read it in a Salon article this week, and then you said you had heard about it on the Franken Show, which I missed that day, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a... Go ahead. There's a very interesting site out there. If you guys would care to go to www.votergasm.org.
Now, why would I want to go to a place with a name like that?
Well, I guess it kind of depends on if you're single or...
Votergasmo.
But basically, the founder of this site...
Okay, go ahead.
The founder of this site decided that there's two major problems with young people this election season.
They're not wearing enough hats? No,
they're not voting enough.
Ah.
And they're not having enough sex.
Really? Where did they get that idea?
Well, you know, we're kind of in the conservative swing of the pendulum. And
yeah,
people are getting kind of
stiff
and, you know, buying into that save yourself from marriage crap.
Uh-huh. Conservative swingers are very dull.
But the problem is, it's counterintuitive. We're supposed to be in the swing of that. But during Bush's administration, what is it, teen pregnancy
increased?
I'm
sure. Yeah,
yes, it has.
So they're having more.
No, they're just having less safe sex.
And less abortions.
Yeah.
Because they can't
I'm sorry, more abortions.
Because more abortions.
More abortions
doesn't work.
Right. Now, if you go to votergasm.org,
yeah.
you mm-hmm. can take a pledge. You can actually take three levels of pledges, as I printed out.
Uh-huh.
I pledge to, is the citizen level.
Yes.
I pledge to withhold sex from non-voters for the week following the election. Patriot level is, I pledge to have sex with a voter on election night and withhold sex from non-voters for the week following the election.
All right. Yeah.
And American hero level... I pledge to have sex with a voter on election night and withhold sex from non-voters for the next 4 years.
Wow.
Now, that's a little more of a commitment than I think most people would be willing to make.
That's what makes it a hero's.
How do you establish
commitment
that they were voters or non-voters?
Well, they get a sticker, don't they?
Yeah, but you don't carry it around with you for 4 years.
Oh, that's true.
Well, that's not
now
a tattoo.
Now you better.
Yeah, if you want any sex.
All right.
From these people. And then there are some rules and conditions. Pledge fulfilling sex must be consensual, legal, and generous, and safe, and hot.
I like the last one. Actually.
All right. I think I can manage that.
Furthermore, they have a place on their site where you can sign up to see if there are any Votergasm parties in your area,
where you can
hook up with other people who have signed the pledge and may not have any immediate means of fulfilling this pledge.
Hook up with scare quotes.
And are there any?
I haven't looked.
Uh-huh.
I'm afraid of Ginny finding it in my cache or something.
I'll be getting
you
spammed.
You bring your wife over to the computer and you look at it together.
Yeah.
See, this is the comment I wanted to make earlier. This is not just for singles.
Right.
Couples can certainly agree to have sex on the night of the vote with each other or anyone they agree on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
not,
I would.
I object to the concept that sex is reserved for non-married people.
In theory, I agree with you.
Okay.
No, that's not true.
Are you afraid of your wife actually listening to this episode?
No, not at all.
No, she has a sense of humor.
Also, I've heard that Rush Limbaugh has actually brought up this site.
Yes, now I know a lot about this because they had a representative from this website on Al Franken's show, and they talked a lot about what Rush Limbaugh did.
And what did he do?
Well, Rush Limbaugh found out about the existence of this site.
Yeah.
And in keeping with the high quality of information gathering and fact checking and his journalistic integrity, he concluded that what this site was for is for Democrats to pledge to have sex with people in order to get those people to vote for John Kerry.
No, actually, there's another site that does that.
There is a site that does that?
Yes, it's called fthevote.com. It's not...
All right, but Rush Limbaugh thought this site was for that, said it was for that, and then called upon his listeners to all log into this site to try to take it down.
Right.
And you can pick up the story from there, Russell.
Yeah, well, so now if you go to votergasm.org, there is a press release on their press page.
Uh-huh.
It says, thanks to Rush, the headline is, Rush Limbaugh Champions Election Night Sex Campaign. Thanks to Rush, tens of thousands of unmarried 18 to 25-year-olds will have hot, safe, raunchy sex on November 2nd. You see, I guess you already mentioned, Rush Limbaugh told everybody to flood the site and try to shut it down.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Free publicity.
Yeah, it's cool for free publicity. You know what else it is?
Yeah.
Illegal.
Yeah.
True.
There was talk of a lawsuit. I didn't catch on Franken's show whether, in fact, they're suing Rush Limbaugh. But after threatening to sue Rush Limbaugh and him knowing about it, he came back on his show and said, I don't understand what the nature of their complaint is. I told people to go to their site and log in and try to take it down through their sheer numbers. That was the point.
Yeah, it's illegal. You moron.
So he admitted to his illegal intent.
Yeah.
After having been challenged
at his illegal intent.
Yeah, amazing.
So this site is now thanking him, saying last week radio host Rush Limbaugh threw his support behind Votergasm.org. From his incredibly powerful position in the American media, Limbaugh helped Votergasm.org to get its message out to millions of young voters who now plan to have sex with their girlfriends, boyfriends, long lusted after crushes, or simply the sexiest voter they can find on the night of November 2nd.
All right.
Rush Limbaugh is the best friend the election night sex movement ever had, said Michelle Collins, director and spokeswoman at Votergasm.org. Uh-huh. Votergasm doesn't care if two people have been married for 10 years or if they met 10 minutes ago. The important thing is they have sex with each other on election night. Rush Limbaugh understands the urgency, the desire, and the passion that comes from post-viewing sex, and we applaud that.
Awesome.
Rush Limbaugh also advanced Votergasm's election night sex agenda by suggesting a new slogan for the campaign. Vote Kerry, get screwed. This morning, Votergasm, which is nonpartisan, unveiled a new line of shirts featuring that slogan alongside Vote Bush, get screwed, and Votergasm increase voter turn on t-shirt. This is a cafe press site.
Cool. Awesome.
But yeah, as I mentioned, there's also a site called fthevote.com.
Uh-huh.
I suppose they would have liked to get fuckthevote.com, but
probably.
In fact, that site's already taken, and it's a don't vote site.
Uh-huh.
But these guys have people actually signing up to seduce Republicans and get them not to vote for Rush Limbaugh. I mean,
for
George Bush.
Ah. Awesome. Awesome.
I'm not sure that's legal, actually.
Yeah, because it can be considered buying votes.
Yeah,
it seems like it. Or buying not votes, because they don't care if you vote for John Kerry. They just try to get you to vote for anybody else. Or not vote.
Right. Here's something that's been on my mind recently. You know the big hoo-ha going on where the Kerry campaign has accused the Bush administration of having a secret plan of drafting people, restarting the draft.
Why, that's ridiculous. Bush hasn't said anything of the kind.
Has he not? I don't know.
He keeps insisting that he won't.
Yeah.
That he won't have a draft.
Yeah.
Because he believes that the Army is doing just great.
Right.
Over there. No, no problem.
According to his faith-based.
Yeah. Now, it is true that there has been a measure in before Congress to reinstate the draft that was sponsored by some Democrats.
Hmm.
But their argument is not a draft is always a bad thing. Their argument is Bush is lying about his intentions. So that I thought that was all very interesting. But the other day I was at the post office and I picked up this brochure from the Selective Service System.
Huh?
You know, we don't have a draft now, but you have to register for it.
Yes.
Just in case, right? And there's a paragraph here in the, you know, in the facts about Selective Service. Will I be drafted? It says, the fact that a man is required to register does not mean that he will be drafted. No one has been drafted since 1973. No one can be drafted into the military unless ordered by Congress and the President. A draft would most likely occur in the event of war or national emergency.
Right.
Now, isn't it Bush who's always saying we're at war?
Yeah.
And isn't it Bush who's always saying we've got a national emergency? I mean,
you'd think with all sorts of threat levels.
Yeah, it strikes me as odd that with Bush continuing to insist all the time that we're in the state of war and national emergency, which is the conditions under which a draft is most likely,
mm-hmm.
that he's not going to have one.
Kind of interesting.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, now, are we at war?
I don't
know. Have we declared war on anybody?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
I just found this page from the Cato Institute, which tends to be sort of a libertarian, uh-huh. conservative type place. And this guy says, President Bush declared war in a State of the Union speech, but that's not a formal declaration by Congress.
Yeah. So we're informally at war.
Right. And so our troops are coming back informally dead.
Yeah,
right?
Informally dismembered.
Huh. Great. Wonderful. Now, what do you call an attack when you haven't declared war?
Crime?
Yeah.
Murder.
Right? Didn't the Japanese do that at the beginning of World War, or during World War II? Didn't they just attack us without any declaration of war? Or did they try to get a declaration through but miss the timetable?
I think that is what the claim is.
Mm-hmm.
That it was like lost in the mail or something.
Well, we didn't lose our in the mail. We just didn't send it.
Yeah.
We just did a big...
Well...
It wasn't exactly
Bush was
no. We were threatening them.
Yes, talking about it for mm-hmm. several months before actually
but
going.
But still.
Oh. Somebody is reminding me of a video that I actually saw earlier this week of George Bush saying in a rally, let me make this very clear. There will be absolutely no, there will not be an all-volunteer army. And then a pause. And then, there will be an all-volunteer
army. Either he's correcting himself or it's
a Freudian
slip.
Frickin' idiot.
Amazing. Okay. Did that. Moving right along through our huge list of things. I got some announcements.
Yes.
National Atheist Ombuds.
Yeah.
My gosh, if you've ever listened to the show before, you've heard about that.
Yeah.
Right? Be diligent, and if you catch people in the media badmouth at atheists, you tell ombuds@atheism.org all about it, and then there will be a press release campaign to slap back at them. CFI events calendar. Listen closely to see if there are Center for Inquiry events in your area. On the 24th, tomorrow, is Science Based on Faith at Northwestern University, Chicago, Illinois. Request information from sjordan@centerforinquiry.net. 10:25, Monday, Faith in College, the Proper Role of Religion in Public Education at the University of Illinois in Chicago. Again, information at sjordan@centerforinquiry.net. Also on the 25th, How Secularism Lost Its Soul. And they're talking about how the secularist movement, which used to be much bigger and more powerful and more organized, lost it.
Died.
At the Western New England College of Law in Springfield, Massachusetts. Information from S. Jordan at centerforinquiry.net.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I don't mean to keep repeating that, but only a couple of these have information from different places. So for each one, I'm going to tell you what it is. On the 26th, what is the proper role of religion in electoral politics at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire? Information from S. Jordan at centerforinquiry.net. On November 5 to 7, Just War and Jihad, Violence in Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. Information from Z Miner, Z-M-I-N-E-R, at centerforinquiry.net, or go to www.centerforinquiry.net/CSER/event.html. On November 7th, Church-State Separation Current Issues at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Greeley in Greeley, Colorado. Information from S. Jordan at centerforinquiry.net. On November 8, New Religious Threats to Academic Freedom at Cornell University, Ithaca, New York. Info from S. Jordan at centerforinquiry.net. On November 18, Darwin Made Me Do It, Evolution and Human Values. At the New College of Florida in Sarasota, Florida. Information from S. Jordan at centerforinquiry.net. December 4 and 5, Systems of Belief Lecture Series at Center for Inquiry West in Hollywood, California. Information at www.cfiwest.org/calendar/cook2.htm. That's COOKE2.htm. Whew, man, those guys are busy.
Yeah.
And any of our listeners that goes to one of those events and then emails us about how cool it was, we'll send you a prize.
Yeah, and we may mention it on the show.
Yep, definitely get a show mention.
That probably will be the prize.
Yeah. Hey.
All right. Dennis?
Yes.
Do you have anything for us?
Oh, gosh.
You've been very quiet so far.
Oh, I was handed something here. Let's see.
Well, you emailed it to me. I printed it for you and handed it back. Yeah. So I'm not taking the blame.
It's something I found on the web. The Bush administration's 24 reasons for attacking Iraq.
24
they
reasons?
They didn't have one. They didn't have two. No, they had 24.
Yes, and that way when any one of them doesn't work out, they can always...
You just move on to the next one on the list. Right.
That seems to be
now,
what they...
Can we preface this?
Sure, go ahead.
There's nothing wrong with having multiple reasons for doing a thing.
Right.
Often it's a damn good idea have multiple reasons for doing a thing. It makes it make more sense.
Yeah.
The problem is, of course, they started with one reason, and then they danced from reason to reason to reason.
Right.
Right? They didn't begin with, here's our full case, reason A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Right.
Right? That add up to justification.
No, they
each
were
one was
up on the fly,
right,
as they
each, and each one was the reason, the one and only
mm-hmm.
sole reason, one after
they
another.
And since a lot of them are different, somebody's lying.
I would
somewhere.
Assume all 24 are different, aren't they?
No, some are very similar.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hear them.
And you know, these are not in order of priority, but you know,
are they in chronological order?
I don't know. No.
One would,
no, I don't think.
Oh,
so.
One would have hoped.
Yeah,
all right.
Nice.
Well, let's hear some.
Okay.
We probably don't want to read the full text. But.
Right. No. These all have quotes backing them up.
Yeah.
From
okay.
various people. So.
Okay.
One, war on terror.
Sure, it's a war on terror. That was a reason.
Right. Okay. Two. WMD.
Of course, there wasn't any terror coming.
No, from Iraq.
No, there was no terror coming from Iraq.
No.
I think supposedly their justification is that Hussein funded terrorists.
All that I've heard is that Hussein paid money to the families of dead terrorists.
Yes. It says, you know, but no terrorist state poses a greater or more immediate threat to the security of our people and stability of the world than the regime of Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
Right.
Terrorist state because what? They said so?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Reason two.
Reason to, WMD. This regime has amassed large clandestine stocks of biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxin and possibly smallpox.
Who said that?
Oh, gosh, Rumsfeld.
Rumsfeld!
Yeah, in 02.
Yeah, also didn't exist.
Right.
What's three?
Denied access to inspectors.
Ah, this is the, they didn't do exactly what the, United Nations demanded ploy.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, except they did.
Except that they did.
Except they did. Four, regime change.
Right.
The president also, however, is committed to regime change.
This is because we want that country that isn't our country to have a different leader than it's got argument, which is none of our fucking business.
Saddam Hussein is evil.
Is this reason five?
Yes, this is reason five. Saddam Hussein is evil.
What's the proof of that? Well, I mean, he did bad things.
Iraq continues to flaunt its hostility towards America and to support terror. The Iraqi regime has plotted to develop anthrax, nerve gas, blah, blah, blah.
Wait a minute. Flaunt its what toward America? It's hostility.
It's hostility.
That is not necessarily evil. I mean, we flaunt our hostility toward all kinds of...
Anybody who's hostile to us deserves to be attacked, right?
Uh-huh, that's evil, because they are hostile toward us.
They're hostile to
us. No, sorry, that doesn't prove anything. Next one was they support terrorism. Not true. Third one was weapons of mass destruction. Also not true. So all the proofs behind reason five are false.
Are all false.
Okay. Next.
Okay, number six, curry favor with the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that worked out great.
Yeah. It's the liberation of Iraq. If Iraqis are dancing in the streets as they will be when Saddam goes, that has the potential to transform the region in our favor.
Uh-huh. No.
No.
Failed.
Yeah. Set an example for nations that sponsor terrorism.
Still terrorism going on.
If Iraq had been a nation sponsoring terrorism...
That might
the
have
a... making an example of them argument might have held some weight.
Yeah. But it doesn't, because they... The eight, liberate Iraqis.
Uh-huh.
The Iraqi people are repressed and have been subjugated by that regime. There is no doubt in mind, but the overwhelming majority are anxious to be liberated and free of that regime.
Yeah.
And impose another regime.
Right. This is very similar to the regime change argument.
Yeah.
But what again, you know, I got to point out, it's really none of our business who runs other countries. It's just not.
Unless they pose an immediate threat to us, then it's our business.
Number nine is more illuminating. Iraq's broken promises.
Oh?
First, it's clear from the Iraqi regime's 11 years of defiance and that containment has not led to their compliance. They're not doing what we want, so we should attack them.
Well, that's very similar to not complying.
Right.
Now, Russell, when you said a second ago that... In fact, Iraq was cooperating with the inspectors.
Yes.
What do you mean?
They actually...
Because they did. They did kick him out a couple of times.
They did. Yes. So Bush said, unless they let the inspectors back in, we will attack them.
And they did let the inspectors back in.
And they let the inspectors back in.
And Bush attacked anyway.
And we attacked them.
Right.
It was at that point that he said, Saddam's got to get out of here. He didn't say that until after... until after this ploy about not letting the inspectors.
And I remember...
Who was guilty of a broken promise in that case? That would be Bush.
That would be Bush.
Well, he didn't say, if he lets the inspectors back in, we promise not to attack them.
Now, what do you call it? What do you call it when you say... What do you call it when you say, turn over your weapons of mass destruction or we'll attack you? And you don't have any weapons of mass destruction.
Dumb?
Yeah, pretty freaking dumb.
Well, what reason are we on?
That was nine. Number 10, revenge.
Ah?
After all, this, Saddam Hussein, is a guy that tried to kill my dad. President George W. Bush, remarks by the president at John Corwin, or Cornyn, for Senate reception, 9-26-02.
Wow.
He tried to kill my dad, so let's attack our nation.
Uh-huh. This is, by the way, the president who disrespects his dad, a former president in his own right, more than seems appropriate.
Hmm.
I mean, when asked whether he turns to his father for advice, The current Bush said, no, I turned to a higher father. And also, it has been noted that Bush Sr. did not speak, was not invited to speak at the Democrat, or at the Republican National Convention.
Ah, interesting. And let's see, threat to the region. Number 11, he threatens the regimes of his neighboring countries frequently. And well, he did attack Kuwait.
Is that frequent? Right. Does that count as frequently?
Hard to say.
And is it, no. Did they factor in that we had told them that he could go ahead and we wouldn't lift a finger?
Yeah, probably not. Probably didn't factor that in.
Okay.
12, because we can.
Ah, I think this is very illuminating.
Saddam Hussein is loathed and detested, despised by most of the people in Iraq. If we cannot organize an effective opposition to Saddam, if we cannot drive this tyrant from office, then we can't do anything. And I believe that if we do it and are successful, and we can be successful, we will be regarded as the liberators of Iraq. So basically, because we can.
Right.
13, unfinished business. Right.
Should have taken him out.
Should have taken him out the first time.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I happen to agree we should have taken him out the first time.
Yeah. Well, then we had clear reason to.
But, you know, if that's going to be a reason for doing it this time, it ought to be reason number one.
Right.
You know, this all reminds me of having an argument with a creationist.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you argue with a creationist, what you don't get, like, a point-by-point discussion of something. You get... A creationist is someone who knows that evolution is wrong, and so anything he can find, he's going to throw at you. So typically what you'll get on, like, alt-atheism or Talk Origins or any of the billions of message boards is a first-time creationist just sort of popping up and saying, here's a 20-page document explaining all the reasons why evolution is not true. And individually, they're all bullshit.
Right.
Right.
But they're hoping you'll see that impressive.
Oh my gosh, look at all that stuff.
There's so many reasons. Some of them must be true.
Boy, the dust on the moon. Whoa, that makes me believe. Okay. 14, for the sake of history. I'm a patient man. I intend to use all the tools at our disposal, but for the sake of freedom, for the sake of what's right, and for the sake of history, we're not going to let the world's worst leaders threaten America with the world's worst weapons. But wow, that was Bush. Okay, interesting. He couldn't
finish
his sentence.
For the sake of history.
For the sake of history. Because there wouldn't be a history if he didn't attack. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. 15.
I wasn't aware that history had desires.
Yes, apparently it does, according to George Bush. 15. Disarmament.
Well, that could mean something as simple as, so that history books from now on will include a sentence that says that I did this.
That I illegally attacked, yeah.
Uh-huh. That would be for the sake of history.
Good. Okay. And 15. Disarmament.
Uh-huh.
I think one other point I'd make before proceeding is that there is obviously a misunderstanding on part of those who think that the goal is inspections. The goal isn't inspections. The goal is disarmament. That is what was agreed to by Iraq. That is what was understood by the United Nations. That's what I'm told.
Okay. Well, disarmament of what?
Guess what?
Of weapons that inspectors had not found.
Right.
And which it now turns out were not there.
Didn't exist.
Right.
Right.
Has there been a single
disarmament?
Good...
Disarmament as a reason to attack? They did it.
Right. They disarmed it.
And they attacked him anyway. What the hell?
So far, of all of these, the only one that made any kind of sense to me was the unfinished business.
Yeah.
And that in itself would not be good enough reason. That's just a reason that is true.
That actually works, yeah.
It really is true. We probably should have gone and finished them off when we did that last
although
time.
Although, Bush Sr. didn't consider it unfinished business.
That's true.
He said we had
reasons
for not taking Saddam Hussein.
You're right.
Huh?
Yeah, Bush Sr., in his memoirs, talked about what a bad idea it would have been to go in there and finish him off.
Kerry read from that during the debate.
Uh-huh.
Right? Oh, nice.
All right. 16. So, I'm sorry, no reasons that make sense so far.
16. Commitment to our children.
Commitment to our children?
That's a convenient scapegoat.
Because we promised our children that we would
for
kill Saddam Hussein.
Freedom and peace. If the United Nations will not deal with Saddam Hussein, the United States and our friends will. Applause. We owe it to our children to defend freedom. We owe it to our children and children elsewhere to keep the peace. Yeah, we owe it to the Iraqi children.
Saddam
who lose
Hussein
arms
was
and
not attacking freedom.
Yeah.
In his own country, there were probably people, you know, there were definitely people killed and incarcerated that we would not have killed or incarcerated here under our laws. Yeah. But that wasn't here under our laws. That was there under their laws.
Yep. 17. Imminent
then again,
threat.
You know, look at Abu Ghraib.
And
I
that.
Mean, when you consider who gets incarcerated under our laws.
Yeah.
Yes, try applying some of these to, you know, the act of shoving a broom handle up some guy's rectum. For the children. For the sake of our children.
Right. Number 17 was imminent threat.
Uh-huh.
If this was a card, I'd just toss that one over my shoulder. We already know that doesn't fit. 18, preserve peace.
There was already peace.
Toss that one over.
There was already peace. Huh? Yeah. There was.
Who was he attacking?
Who was he attacking?
Okay. Continuing to be anti-war, I nevertheless point out that if you were over there in Iraq and you were one of the two religious groups that was not Saddam's group, which one was he?
I don't know.
Shiite, Sunni, and
Mooney.
Okay, anyway.
No,
but what's your point?
I mean, it was an oppressive regime. You don't want to underplay that.
Right.
I mean,
but again,
it's not really that much of our.
It cannot be the United States's. Can I say that? United States's?
Yeah.
That cannot be the responsibility of the United States unilaterally to go into other people's countries and declare, some our own judgment on how they are operating internally.
And they
that
will,
is what the UN is for building consensuses to deal with stuff like that.
They will, of course, tell you that we had a coalition. We had Finland, and don't forget Poland.
Sweden or Poland, that's right. God. Okay, 18.
Emirate of Palau.
To preserve the peace.
The Republic of Romania.
Preserve the peace. There was peace.
Yeah.
There was peace. Just because he's killing people inside his own borders. We kill people inside our own borders.
Yep. 19. Threat to freedom.
Threat to freedom.
If we fail to act in the face of danger, the people of Iraq will continue to live in brutal submission.
It's not our business.
The regime will have new power to bully and dominate and conquer its neighbors, condemning the Middle East
what
more years
power?
Of bloodshed and fear. The regime will remain unstable. The region will remain unstable with little hope of freedom.
The regime will remain unstable?
Progress
region.
Of our times, yeah. It sounds
insane. Does he say region,
to me.
Region or regime will remain unstable?
The region.
Region will remain
unstable.
I'm sorry. Okay. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. A, not our business. B, you know, as far as we are concerned, there was peace. There was there was no threat.
C, going in seems to have made it more unstable.
Well, that's certainly true.
20.
But that's hindsight.
Linked to Al-Qaeda. Ah, we can toss that card over our shoulder.
Lie.
21. Iraq is unique.
Huh?
By its past and present actions, by its technological capabilities, by the merciless nature of its regime, Iraq is unique. As a former chief weapons inspector of the UN has said, the fundamental problem with Iraq remains the nature of the regime itself. Saddam Hussein is a homicidal dictator who is addicted to weapons of mass destruction.
So's Bush!
Addicted?
So's
Does
Bush.
He snort?
He snorts anthrax, yeah.
Yeah, for a guy who was addicted, he was apparently on the wagon.
He must have been going
He's been on the wagon for 10
time.
Years.
Drunk.
Okay, bullshit. Next.
22, relevance of the United Nations. All the world now faces a test. And a test That's an interesting turn of phrase.
Oh, my God, a test, a global
and the
test.
United Nations is
that would be, if all nations are involved.
And a global test. All the world now faces a test, and the United Nations a difficult and defining moment. Are Security Council resolutions to be honored and enforced or cast aside without consequence? Will the United Nations serve the purpose of its founding, or will it be irrelevant? President's address to the UN General Assembly.
Good grief.
Well, he successfully made it irrelevant.
Yeah, you make it irrelevant by taking over the responsibility for enforcing its decisions.
Right.
That makes it irrelevant. You know, it does not make our legal system irrelevant that sometimes we find extenuating circumstances and let people go after they have broken laws. Right? That does not make the legal system irrelevant. But you know what would make our legal system irrelevant? Vigilantism.
Right. This is what we did. 23, international law. And he has demonstrated time and again his aggressive intent. One can argue as to what his development activities are. One can argue as to what his stockpiles look like. One can argue as to the pace of development within Iraq of these terrible weapons.
And one can argue that his stockpiles look like they're invisible.
Right. But what is not arguable is that he is in violation of international law and the international constraints that were placed upon him. Wah, wah, wah.
Once again.
Big fat fucking lie.
Okay,
24. Saddam Hussein had an insatiable appetite for WMDs.
That sounds very similar to
starving.
The addiction argument.
That actually sounds very similar to a Guns N' Roses album title.
This is actually, the most recent of these announced reasons, isn't it?
Yeah.
October
10th, 2004. Yeah.
October 10th. It's been established he didn't have any. He destroyed them all years ago. Where is this insatiable appetite?
It's obviously a risk, but I think to say that this was a greater risk now than before Saddam Hussein was out of power simply doesn't face the fact that Saddam Hussein had an insatiable appetite for weapons of mass destruction. He had unflinching hatred for the United States. He had every reason to cooperate with our enemies. This was a gathering and growing threat, and it was time to take care of it.
He apparently also had reasons not to cooperate with our enemies because this whole link to Al-Qaeda that they talk about was when Al-Qaeda went to him and said, give us support, and he said no.
What?
Well, we're only seeing it this way because we're reality-based.
Yeah, we're the reality-based community.
Are
I love
we gonna
that.
Are we going to lead into
that? Do we have a story on it?
I have the article, or we could just mention it.
Let's just mention it.
Okay. There was an excellent article in the New Yorker magazine this week by Ron Suskind, who wrote
the book that you can't remember the name of.
The book that I can't remember the name of. Uh-huh. Yeah, with Paul O'Neill.
Uh-huh.
Somebody has to write a book with that title now.
Yeah. Anyway, a really excellent article called "Without a Doubt." Which was basically outlining the kind of role that faith plays in Bush's presidency and in his life, including one of the most frankly astounding quotes I've ever heard from a Bush official, where this guy sort of patronizingly talks to Ron Suskind, who's been a journalist for many years, and says, look, let me explain the way things are to you. You are a member of what we call the reality-based community. That means you think that if you study reality, then you'll learn something. But those rules don't work anymore because we're an empire, and what we do is change reality.
Mm-hmm. So, now, what was he talking about? What is the empire?
Us.
Us. The United States itself.
Yeah.
Not the Republican Party.
Yeah, I believe the word was create reality.
We create reality.
Yeah.
Right. So you just go on studying what we do, and we'll do something different tomorrow, and you'll study that too, because, you know, you little reality people just aren't relevant anymore.
Wow.
That's scary. And it's
but it's pretty close.
But, oh boy, yeah, I can believe it.
I will post a link in the chat room.
It makes Bush's inability to address reality. It certainly explains
it's a virtue.
That. It explains why
it's
he seems to be so out of touch.
It's a lack of desire to pay attention
to
reality.
He's just saying, if I believe that things are going well in Iraq, then things are going well in Iraq.
Right.
Ta-da.
Ron Susskind wrote The Price of Loyalty, George W. Bush, the White House, and the Education of Paul O'Neill.
Man.
And I will now track down that link.
While you're doing that, I have some other little snippets here that have come over up in the last couple of weeks. Okay. Yes?
I have actually had a request from the chat room.
And what's that request?
A while ago, we were reading off events of CFI.
Yeah.
And somebody asked us to read another event.
Sure.
Rude Boy.
Okay.
Mentioned.
Can you get closer to your mic when you do that?
Yeah. Rude Boy mentioned Sunday, November 21st, 2 o'clock p.m. in Pasadena, California. The Ancestor's Tale, a lecture by Richard Dawkins, who
Ooh.
Is one of my personal heroes.
Cool.
For the Skeptic Society at Caltech.
Excellent.
Also, Sunday, December 12th at 2 o'clock p.m. at Caltech is another event. The Church, the State, the Pledge, and the Law.
Okay. And this is from
James
Rude Boy?
Randy, yes, from Rude Boy.
By the way, Rude Boy, if you would please type this stuff up and email it to our email address, which is nonprofits at, where are we?
Atheist-community.org.
Nonprofits at atheist-community.org. If you email that to us, I will put that in our list of announcements and we'll do them automatically for the next few episodes.
Okay.
I mean, until they've happened.
Also, he mentioned James Randi is going to – there's going to be a James Randi conference.
Cool.
January 13th through 16th, 2005 at the Las Vegas, Nevada at the Stardust Hotel.
Cool.
Hey.
Go to randi.org for details.
Right.
That's R-A-N-D-I.
That's worth
awesome, awesome,
out.
Awesome. Thanks, Rude Boy. Quote. This is why President Bush dispenses with people who confront him with inconvenient facts. He truly believes he's on a mission from God. Absolute faith like that overwhelms a need for analysis. The whole thing about faith is to believe things for which there is no empirical evidence. But you can't run a world on faith. That is a quote from Bruce Bartlett, a domestic policy advisor to Ronald Reagan, a Treasury official for the first President Bush, and a self-described libertarian Republican discussing President Bush's reliance on faith and gut instinct in the White House. Here's another one. President Bush has stolen the symbolism and body language of religion and used it to disguise the most radical effort in American history to take what rightfully belongs to the American people and give as much as possible to the already wealthy and privileged. That was former Vice President Al Gore speaking at Georgetown University.
Wow. Yeah.
Evangelical broadcaster Pat Robertson set off a partisan fight by telling a television interview that President Bush serenely assured him just before the invasion of Iraq, quote, "Oh no, we're not going to have any casualties," unquote. How many Bush administration officials does it take to change a light bulb? None. There's nothing wrong with that light bulb. There is no need to change anything. We made the right decision, and nothing has happened to change our minds. People who criticize this light bulb now, just because it doesn't work anymore, supported us when we first screwed it in, and when these flip-floppers insist on saying that it is burnt out, they are merely giving aid and encouragement to the forces of darkness.
Yes, that was a beautiful...
John Cleese.
Oh,
yep.
That's terrific.
That's awesome.
Is that an article somewhere?
That is from John Cleese's... website
mm-hmm.
that he is setting up, which I believe is www.thejohncleese.com or org, and Russell's going to try to confirm that for us.
Cool.
Whew.
Oh no, our internet is clicking on and off again.
Crap.
Oh well.
Nope. All right, well, we can get that confirmation when that comes back.
Yeah.
Actual news? Russell, do you want to do actual news, or shall I?
Didn't you just read the Pat Robertson thing?
I had a whole list of little snippets.
Yeah, okay, well.
But you want to do the whole rest of the article?
Not really. I mean, all I want to say is, well,
you go, Pat Robertson. Yes. Well, what I really want to say. There's the web page. Is it .com or .org?
It's the John Cleese, I guess, .com.
.com.
Okay, shut up, John.
He's not being funny there. I can...
No, what I really wanted to say about this article is that when even Pat Robertson claims that you're out of touch with reality, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The evangelical broadcaster Pat Robertson set off a partisan firefight on Wednesday after telling a television interviewer that President Bush had serenely assured him that, oh no, we're not going to have any casualties in the invasion of Iraq.
I'm sure 1,100 dead Americans will be happy to hear that.
Yes, they'll be delighted. Is it that many yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, more than that. Yeah.
In an interview on CNN broadcast Tuesday night, Robertson said Bush's comment came in a meeting in Nashville, Tennessee in March 2003, at which he warned the president before the invasion to prepare the public for casualties. Hmm. I mean, he was just sitting there like, I'm on top of the world, Robertson said. The Lord told me it was going to be a disaster and B messy. Robertson continued.
Uh huh.
Funny, my
great
own,
after the fact
my
prediction.
Own brain yeah. told me that.
Plus, it's bullshit. I mean, yeah. Robertson was all in favor of the war
yes,
when it was
he
coming
was.
Up.
Just to bring it home, you all sit down and count to 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And each one of those numbers is a human.
He's a
being.
Human being.
That's nice. Yeah.
Think about it.
I love this. There was a good rapid response by the Kerry campaign.
Uh-huh.
Mike McCurry, a spokesman for Senator John Kerry, asked on the campaign trail in Waterloo, Iowa, so is Pat Robertson telling you the truth when he said you didn't think there'd be any casualties, or is Pat Robertson lying? Which is great, because now Bush either has to say, yeah, I said that incredibly stupid thing,
uh-huh.
or he has to piss off the religious right.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Do it.
It is strange. There's a lot of right-wing fundamentalists out there that are angry with Bush and talking like they're not going to support him.
Good, because that's like his only base left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Scott McClellan, the White House press secretary, said, of course the president never made such a comment. The president, both publicly and privately, was preparing the American people for the possibility of a military conflict
uh-huh.
and the possibility that sacrifices may be necessary.
So yeah, how did he do that? I mean,
he's
calling Pat a liar.
Yep.
High Court revisits Ten Commandments.
Oh.
The Supreme Court said on October 12, this is a good thing.
Oh, is it?
Yes. The Supreme All right. Court said on Tuesday, October 12, it will take up the constitutionality of Ten Commandments displays on government land and buildings. A surprise announcement that puts justices in the middle of a potentially sensitive issue. Justices have repeatedly refused to revisit issues raised by their 1980 decision that banned the posting of copies of the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms. In the meantime, however, lower courts have reached a hodgepodge of conflicting rulings that allow displays in some instances but not in others. The High Court will hear an appeal early next year involving displays in Kentucky and Texas. In the Texas case, the justices will decide if a Ten Commandments monument on the state capitol grounds is an unconstitutional attempt to establish state-sponsored religion. Thomas Van Orden lost his lawsuit to have the 6-foot-tall red granite monument removed. The Fraternal Order of Eagles donated the monument to the state in 1961. The group gave scores of similar monuments to American towns during the 50s and 60s, and those have been the subject of multiple court fights. Separately, they will consider whether a lower court wrongly barred the posting of the Ten Commandments in Kentucky courthouses. So, yeah, the thing is, different lower courts right. in different regions have reached conflicting conclusions about effectively identical cases. Right? Same right. monument, same situation, same everything, only in one place they ruled it was not constitutional, and another place they ruled that it was. We've had
Mr. Van Orden speak to our group several times,
right.
And also he was a guest and speaker at the conference that we were at, that we weren't able to get him on our audio show. And also, many of us have seen this monument on the state capitol lawn. I mean, it's right there. This
right.
is Austin. This
the
is the Capitol.
Commandments monument.
There are 11 commandments on it,
11?
As there were were on all of these ones from FOE,
the
Fraternal Order of Eagles.
They're not numbered.
They're not numbered. That's how they get away with it. But what they are is there's like a Jewish version and a Catholic version,
or a Protestant
version, and they're slightly different. So the monuments incorporate like two different.
They are not
sections.
Actually numbered in the Bible,
right?
They come in different verses, and,
well, it's not
and you
call the Ten Commandments in the Bible.
They kind of cobble them
not
together.
Not that set of no. There's a different set of ten things that is called the Ten Commandments
right,
in the Bible.
That's true. Yeah. But in the original so-called Ten Commandments, what you have is, I believe the Catholic version leaves out that inconvenient bit about not making idols because they
like statues.
Imagery.
Yeah.
But they split one of the other commandments, don't covet your neighbor's wife or his stuff. I think they turned that into two things.
Uh-huh.
And then the Protestants keep that as one thing and then include the...
Right. So to cover it all, you need 11 commandments.
Amazing.
Improvement.
Right. All right. In the past decade, justices have refused to get involved in Ten Commandments disputes from around the country. Three conservative justices complained in 2001 when the court declined to rule on the constitutionality of a Ten Commandments display in front of the Elkhart, Indiana Municipal Building. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Support growing for embryonic stem cell research.
Oh, good.
A majority of Americans favor research on stem cells taken from discarded human embryos, according to the latest survey, which shows growing support for the controversial science. The nationwide survey released on the 12th found 53% of respondents favor stem cell research and 36% oppose it, up from 47% in favor a year ago.
It's pretty good.
That's consistent with other polls released this year that indicate support for embryonic stem cell research has increased, said Matthew Nisbet, an Ohio State University professor of communications who has studied public opinion of the issue. Heightened media attention to the benefits of research may be driving the upward swing in support. And I should mention that this survey was taken before Christopher Reeve died.
Right.
So it was already swinging in favor then. However, on the flip side, support for human cloning has dropped by about an equal amount. FDA approves use of...
You know, we were kind of iffy on human cloning ourselves.
We?
I remember when the topic of cloning...
I'm in favor.
Yeah, but
I'm in favor. I got no problem with it.
The technology needs to advance some more.
But that's not an against. That's, I mean, I would be against having, you know, gigantic airlines and flights all over the United States if 5 times out of 10 airplanes exploded on takeoff.
Right.
But it's not that I have a problem with air travel. It's that, you know, get the technology working.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
I mean, I'm all in favor of cloning human beings. I have no problem with it. FDA approves the use of implantable chip in patients to pass medical information to doctors.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
The food and you might actually have your eyebrows go up before the end of the story.
Okay.
The Food and Drug Administration approved an implantable computer chip that can pass a patient's medical details to doctors, speeding care. Verichips, radio frequency microchips the size of a grain of rice, have already been used to identify wayward pets and livestock. And nearly 200 people working in Mexico's Attorney General's office have been implanted with chips to access secure areas containing sensitive documents. I bet you hadn't heard that. Delray Beach, Florida-based Applied Digital Solutions said it would give away
$650 scanners to roughly 200 trauma centers around the nation to help speed its entry into the healthcare market. A company spokesman would not say how much implanting chips would cost for humans, even though chips have been implanted in some, including Scott R. Silverman, the company's chief executive officer.
Right.
The company is targeting patients with diabetes, chronic cardiac conditions, Alzheimer's disease, and those who undergo complex treatments like chemotherapy, said Dr. Richard Seelig, Applied Digital Solutions Vice President of Medical Applications. It's the first time the FDA has approved medical use of the device, though in Mexico, more than 1,000 scannable chips have been implanted in patients. Mexico is ahead of us on the chip implantation front. The chip's serial number pulls up the patient's blood type and other medical information, so they don't actually store the info in the chip. It's just a serial number.
Just
identification.
Right.
Okay, we can take bets on how quickly fundamentalists are going to be declaring this the mark of the beast.
Oh, yeah, of course, if they haven't already.
With the pinch of a syringe, the microchip is inserted under the skin in a procedure that takes less than 20 minutes and leaves no stitches. I would hope that would take less than 20 minutes to insert a great rice grain-sized object into my body.
Right.
Silently and invisibly, the dormant chip stores a code similar to the identifying UPC code on products sold in retail stores that releases patient-specific information when a scanner passes over the chip. At the doctor's office, these codes are stamped onto chips once... At the doctor's office, those codes stamped onto chips once scanned would reveal such information as a patient's allergies and prior treatments. The FDA in October 2002 said the agency would regulate healthcare applications possible through VeriChip. Meanwhile, the chip has been used for a number of security-related tasks as well as for pure whimsy. Clubhoppers in Barcelona, Spain now use the microchip much like a smart card to speed drink orders and payment.
Interesting.
You sent me that one, Dennis. Do you want to read that?
Okay. Right. Texas minister regrets biting police officer.
Huh?
You said your minister wouldn't bite. It's not my minister. Richmond, Texas. A Texas minister said if he could go back in time, he would have just signed the ticket he was given during a traffic stop.
Yeah, was he asked if he would save Jesus if he could go back in time?
No, he wasn't asked that. Instead, the Reverend Curtis Lucas will spend 10 years on probation.
If he could go back in time, wouldn't he stop himself from getting the ticket? He got the ticket in the first place!
We'll spend 10 years on probation for biting the officer who gave him the ticket.
Lucas on balance, I think signing was a better choice.
Lucas had been pulled over last September for not having a front license plate. When the officer tried to get Lucas to sign a ticket, the pastor refused, resisted arrest, and then bit the officer on the finger.
Ow!
Lucas was initially sentenced to 2 years in prison, but the Houston Chronicle reports a judge reduced that to probation, community service, fines, and a stint in an anger management program.
That's odd. Okay. I thought Christianity was an anger management program.
It's supposed to be, isn't it? It's supposed to make you peaceful and all Jesus-like and everything.
Can his anger management program please be taught by Jack Nicholson?
You know, I guess now we know what Jesus would do if you tried to issue him a traffic citation.
Do we got time?
I'll be real quick.
Go.
Be real quick.
Park Service sticks with biblical explanation for Grand Canyon.
God. Oh, boy.
Legal
this is
review
bad.
On creationist book is shelved. The Bush administration has decided it will stand by its approval for a book claiming the Grand Canyon was created by Noah's flood rather than by geological forces, according to internal documents released today by Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. Peter,
shouldn't that be something for scientists to decide?
You would think, but those scientists, you know, they're all, like, out to get religion. So, despite telling members of Congress and the public that the legality and appropriateness of the National Park Service offering a creationist book for sale at Grand Canyon museums and bookstores was under review at the national level by several offices, No such review ever took place, according to material obtained by Peer under the Freedom of Information Act.
They just said, go ahead with it. We didn't review it.
Instead, the real agency just position was expressed by NPS spokesperson Elaine Seavey, as quoted in the Baptist Press News. Now that the book has become quite popular, we don't want to remove it.
Vote for John Kerry.
Yes.
If they have early voting, and you can vote now in the state that you're in and you haven't already, go vote now.
That's our official intention.
No, wait. First go to, what was it?
Votergasm.org. Make your pledge.
And pledge. Get yourself registered and, you know, locate one of the voters in your region to have your sex with. But then go vote. It's very, very important. We have to defeat George Bush. We cannot. Our country.
Otherwise, we'll have creationism.
We will have creationism in our public schools. We will have, we will start having religion cops that go around, and if you're not wearing a cross, they'll throw you up against a wall and, you know, put you in prison for not being Christian.
And
four new justices, Supreme Court justices.
That'll do it.
Hugely important. Go vote
and get laid.
Yeah.
Don't give him all the branches of our government.
No. Vote today if you can. Vote on the 2nd if you have to.
Right.
Bye-bye. We'll see you in 2 weeks, hopefully in a shinier, brighter new future.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Gosh, please.